My mother remained childlike all her life. Even when the most adult life-changing events happened to her, things that just don't happen to children, she managed to remain a child in the way she responded to them. Accidents and illnesses and wayward offspring and deaths most dear to her all conspired to break her spirit, make her grow up and old and lose her smile, but they never quite did. All her life she would stop one too many times to touch a flower, name a tree, greet a passerby, fiddle around in her purse for a scrap of paper on which to write a memory. All her life she would giggle at the sight of playful children, moan in sympathy when an infirm person appeared, nod in understanding when a kid showed her a piece of art or a cut finger. When I was in England one time, I saw my mother times 10 almost everywhere I went. Elderly people in each small town seemed to be busily about the business of being old and content and happy. One little old lady stopped at a restaurant table to gently touch an artificial flower in a plastic vase, pulling her hand back with the same grace and appreciation she would display had the flower been botanical rather than manufactured. Mother always did that. In Egham, England, the restaurant where I ate my first British breakfast boasted real sugar cubes in a crystal bowl with a white plastic spoon, the way Mother might have set a table. The old and the new, the real and the artificial, were of equal importance to her always, and she would have artificial fruit mixed with real fruit, plastic doilies arranged near lace doilies, wedgewood bowls and cracked china plates stored near styrofoam dishes, 50-year-old souvenirs from Woolworth, right next to precious family artifacts from the century before. Next to me in the restaurant, a British woman talked baby talk to a chubby, shiny new baby, and I dug into my whole-baked tomato and ham as if I'd never eaten before. From the restaurant window, I could see a statue commemorating some old king or another, and a shop where you could have color copies made while stopping for tea or chips next door. There was a spot where John Wesley once preached, and there were junior high school-age schoolgirls wearing black mesh hose and thick, long heels under their burgundy and gray uniforms, sharing cigarettes with their boyfriends inside a doorway. The British breakfasts included pork and beans and a fried egg, and I relished every morsel, since it had been 36 hours since I'd had a real meal. I wondered at the juxtaposition of cultures I was seeing out that sunny window. Efficient shopkeepers geared up for the lunchtime shoppers and diners. This place was way out, I guessed. That is, there were enormous signs in the train stations and airports that said way out, in places we'd have exit signs in America. Way out is where I was that cool morning, and way out is exactly where I wanted to be at that moment. Mother would have loved it.